Welcome back to the Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell and I are delighted to be with Reza Aslan. There was a time when if you said Iraq or Iran, most Americans wouldn't know the difference. They are different. They are culturally different. They are politically different. We are deeply involved now in the Middle East in ways that we were only sort of involved. Iraq, Iran, Israel. These three I's are very important to what we should be talking about now.
Well, and we haven't talked at all, but I think it's important in this context about the Sunni-Shia split, because that is a sort of difference between Iraq and Iran. Though, having said that, put these countries in context.
Well, I'm so glad you brought this up, because you're right. Especially now, we tend to think of Iran and Iraq as being intimately linked because they're both Shia. Well, but that may be true, but there are many different kinds of Shiism. And Iranian Shiism, which I think is more properly referred to as Khomeiniism, is a profound innovation in Shiism that is utterly rejected by Iraq's Shia majority, and indeed by most of the Shia world. They see this, and even in Iran, there's a huge backlash against this new version of Shiism. And I use that deliberately. This is a new sect of Shiism that came out of Khomeini. So not only are they religiously different, but ethnically, they're completely different. Iranians are not Arabs. Iranians are Indo-Europeans. In fact, if you want to start a fight with an Iranian, call him an Arab.
They're Persians.
Yes, exactly. And then, of course, the other thing that I think is important to recognize, especially those who keep giving us these warnings about, oh, Iraq is going to become another Iran. Nobody knows the political failure that Iran has been better than the Iraqis. It's the last thing that they want. Even Siri, the Supreme Council for Iran, Islamic Revolution in Iraq, that is the closest ties with Iran, has publicly said over and over again, we are not going to duplicate the mess that Iran is here in Iraq. So we need to realize that these are two separate entities in every way and treat them as separate entities in every way. Those who don't want to realize that, or who present the opposite, are precisely these people who want to foment a civil war between the Shia and the Sunni, not just in Iraq, but everywhere else. And that is these Puritans, these puritanical groups of Arab fundamentalists who see the Shia as sinners, and who have, from the beginning, the Wahhabism, which is the religious foundation of this jihadism that I was referring to.
Principally a Saudi creation.
It is a Saudi creation. It's a Saudi religion. It has infiltrated the rest of the Muslim world because of the billions and billions of dollars that the Saudis have pushed into it.
And it is profoundly puritanical.
Profoundly puritanical, yes. And it has always set its sights against the massacre of Shiism and the massacre of Sufism as
to massacre them.
And it is getting the opportunity to do that in Iraq. Unfortunately, doing a very, very good job of doing that.
Which is also taking us back to Reformation, precisely contradictory to the words of the Prophet.
Precisely. This Muslim-on-Muslim violence is preached against in the Quran over and over again. Of course, now what these Puritans do is they use a process called takfir. And what they say is that they just simply declare someone no longer a Muslim. And then that justifies or legitimates their murdering of other Muslims.
We've got about a minute and a half for what is a bigger subject. How do you factor Israel into all of this?
Nothing has changed. You know, we used to say over and over again in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s that the road to peace in the Middle East goes through Jerusalem. Nothing has changed. This is still the number one issue in that region of the world for no other reason than it is being used as a crutch by these autocrats, by these theocrats, as a way to deflect any kind of personal responsibility for the lack of social and political development in their regions. It's all Israel's fault, isn't it? And what we need to do is remove that crutch. There is no way we're going to have any kind of fundamental political reform or religious reform in that region until we take care of this dramatically oppressive situation that the Palestinians are living under.
There's so much more to be said. You'll have to come back and say more as you write more books, including this terrific look into the origin, evolution, and future of Islam. We thank you for that. We'll invite you back.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Reza Aslan has written No God But God, The Origins, Evolution, and Future of Islam with all of us in mind. His writing skill combines beautifully with his scholarship. We thank him for putting both to work on behalf of better understanding among the world's people. And we thank him for including us in his travels. I'm Paula Gordon. I wish you well.